man has free will, because man has free will, that is why man has the ability to get reward, and also the man has the ability to be punished. It would not make sense to reward an angel, because an angel, it's like rewarding the light switch. You flip the switch, the light goes on. It had no choice in the matter. It is necessary. So again, man, what man brings to the table is free will, man's ability to choose to follow Hashem, the ability to recognize God in the world, is something that only man has, which is what makes man the special creature that mankind is. And that is, of course, what leads to our ultimate reward and punishment. When we talk about the Rambam's 13 basic principles of faith, so we've mentioned from time to time that the 13 basic principles can be broken down into three categories, right? The first five principles are based on the idea that there is an existence of a God. There is a God. Those are the first five principles point to. The next four talk about the idea that there is nevuah, there is revelation. In the event that there is a God in the world and God never talks to us and God never tells us what he wants, the fact that there is a God is irrelevant. The relevance of God is only if God somehow communicates to man, this is what you should do and this is what you should not do. So because of that, the middle four are the idea of revelation, right? We talk about that there is a concept of prophecy. We talk about that Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy was the greatest. The Torah we have today, that is the middle. And then, of course, if God existed and God indicated what he wanted but never acted on that, it would again be irrelevant. So therefore, God has to react to what we do. Those are the final four, reward and punishment. That in the event that we act in the way we are supposed to, we are rewarded, and if not, we will be punished. That is the basics. Now, in order that God reward or punish people for what they do, it is necessary for God to be aware of what is happening in the world. So therefore, in order to get to the point of reward and punishment, you have to have the idea that God is all-knowing, that there's nothing going on in this universe that slips by God. Because if God was not all-knowing, he would not be able to fairly reward and punish people. We believe that not only does God know what is happening, and not only does God know what has happened, but God has the ability to know what will happen. This, of course, raises the issue which we are going to discuss today, which is, can this idea that God is all-knowing, that God has the ability to see the future, does that somehow mess with our ability to have free will? Looking at the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, which is number one on the source sheet, the Rambam raises this issue. And he suggests this is in the Mishneh Torah, right? This is in his halachic work. This isn't even the Rambam's philosophical work. He says, Shema Tomar, a person may say, V'alo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodeya Kol Shema HaAsher Yiyeh, V'Kol Shema Yiyeh Yodeya Shezeh Yiyeh Tzadik HaRasha Olo Lo Yada. Said, did God know that a child is born? This child will be a righteous person. This first child will be an evil person. If a child is born and God says, I see that this child that is being formed will be a great person, the evil person will be a great tzaddik, it is impossible that that child not be a tzaddik. Because if that child grows up and that child is not a tzaddik, then God was wrong. God did not know the future. Therefore, if God knows the future, this child has no option but to be a tzaddik. And therefore, one can't turn around and say, well, this tzaddik deserves to be rewarded for all of the great actions that he or she did, because there was no Bechira Chashis. There was no option otherwise. It had to be that way. And similarly, of course, the reverse is true. Right? If you tell me that God knows that this is going to be a Russia, right? If God sees that Adolf Hitler is born and he knows what Adolf Hitler is going to be, then Adolf Hitler had no choice but to be Adolf Hitler. And therefore, since he had no choice, why should he be punished? He might think, it might look like he has a choice, but if in fact God knew from day one what was going to be, so we're stuck one way or the other, right? If you tell me that God knows, then it has to be, and if it has to be, then there was no free choice. If there's true free choice, then there's no way God could know, because it's not known until this point. But it's simply, you put in front of me chocolate ice cream and vanilla ice cream. If you know what I'm going to choose, I'm not choosing. If I'm really choosing, you can't know what I'm going to choose, because I don't know yet. Yes, Hadi. It's the, again, this is again, this was not invented in the time of the Rambam. That's 100% true. This was true from day one. The problem here is a philosophical one. Logically, this doesn't work. Yes.
Why can't you say there is free choice? He chose to be a Tzaddik or a Rasha, but Hashem knew what he was going to choose. Not that he made him a Tzaddik.
So we're gonna have to delve into that a little bit more. But the question is, what does that mean? Right? Right now, a baby is born. Today, a baby is born. Right? If God knows today that in 50 years from now, this child will have done X, Y, and Z, there's no way the child can do anything else.
But the child determined to do X, Y, and Z.
At this point, at the day of birth?
No, 50 years hence, he determines X, Y, and Z. And Hashem knows that 50 years from now, not the day of birth, he will choose to do X, Y, and Z.
But if you know he's going to choose it, he's not choosing. That's the argument. Yes.
The choosing is for the individual, not for God. So God knows, who cares? It's the person that's going to choose.
So again, the argument is, what do you mean the person? The person thinks that they're choosing. But again, if God knows that you're choosing chocolate, you can't choose vanilla. Right? You think you're choosing. You see two in front of you. You're going to make your decision based on whatever you're going to do, your mood that day, your taste, etc. But the argument is that... So... Okay. So again, the argument is no, that I think I'm choosing from my free will, but if the choice has been made beforehand, right? Alex, let me put it in a way that you might understand, right? I have a red ball in one of my two hands, right? And I say, pick one. Or I have cards and I say, pick one. And as you put your hand out, I slip one of the cards in. And you think you picked on your own. Did you?
No, you
didn't. Right. So the idea being that I might think I'm choosing. Yes.
What about the fact that God is outside of time? So
we'll get to that. Hold on to that thought. So... this is the Rambam raises this issue. He raises it in Hilchos Tshuva. Dasha Tshuva Shirazu Arucha Me'eretz Midah. He said, this answer to this question is longer than the whole earth. Everyone should make themselves comfortable. Rechava Mineyam, and wider than the seas. V'kami Ikarim Gedolim V'hararim Ramim Tluyimba. In order to answer this question, we're going to have to discuss some very basic ideas and some very high mountains. But trust me here. Kvar biyarnu beperek sheni milchus yisod yatar shakarsh bachu eino yodeya mideya sheichutz mimenu kivnei adam shehu vedatem shnayim. So let me explain to you that there, when it comes to people, there is the person and there's the knowledge. You can have one without the other. I could forget something. I could acquire new knowledge. God and his knowledge are all one. God and his knowledge is one, and we don't even have the ability to understand what that just meant. Just like I can't understand God, I can't understand the knowledge of God. Might have heard that someplace. Therefore, since we don't understand what knowledge of God is, we can't understand how knowledge of God does not affect free will. But note, you should just know you have free will, God's knowledge does not affect it. I'm not telling you just take it on blind faith. This is eminently provable. And this is why we have reward and punishment, because your decision is your decision. If I ask somebody now, can you please state to me, in short, what is the Rambam's explanation to this question? The answer is, can't tell. The Rambam just says, there's an answer out there. You're not going to understand it. It's a big to-do. Trust me. That is basically the Rambam's answer. The Rambam very eloquently said, too much you don't understand.
Does that mean the Rambam understands?
The Rambam says that he understands, but we wouldn't. The Ravid does not react well to this. The Ravid says, the Kevin Shekhenu quotes in the Rambam, said, Amar Avram lo nog zeh mechave min hachachamim. This was not smart of the Rambam. Shein adam maschim b'dovav lo yodah l'hashlimo. You don't start saying something unless you know how you're going to end it. V'hu hechel b'shiros kushos v'iniach adovav b'kusha. He starts with questions, but he doesn't give us anything. He raises major issues, right? How am I supposed to believe that God is all-knowing, and how can I at the same time believe that I have free will? He raises this major issue, and then he says, yep, there's a reason for it. Never gives us an answer. Trust me. So why did he have to raise this? There were plenty of people before they opened the Rambam who were living their life happily. They never ever thought that there was a problem here, that somehow these two things were related. And now they're not going to be able to sleep tonight. Why did he do that? Maybe one day these people would wake up and they'd have this question. Said, so if those people would have asked the question, then you could say, it's a great question. Unfortunately, it's too hard for me to explain the answer, but trust me. The Ravid said, you know, why did you just do this, Rambam? Why are you making our lives miserable? Right? I was happy beforehand. Now you raise the question. It goes to the basics of my belief. And you didn't give me any answers. So the Rambam gives a little bit of an answer here. What? I you don't understand it?
I'm sorry?
It reminds me of my father-in-law, much like me, has trouble behaving in public. So he remember one time he was at a meeting and he was saying something and the people weren't getting it. So finally he turns to one of them and says, "Let me put this in words that you might understand better." Woof, 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 woof. Right? So the bottom line is, yeah, the Rambam's really not happy with the Rambam here. You're not offering us anything, right? You're just putting doubt into people's minds. So the Rambam himself gives a short answer here, but in his philosophical work, Harmuna Harama, he gives a longer answer, where he has an approach where he understands, where he goes forward with this. He says, "Ein zeh chisaron b'diyaso yisparu k'afshri shnei minim." So he explains that the fact that looking forward will mess with free will, and God still gives us free will, does not in any way minimize God. Now let's think about this logically. If there is a stira, right? If there is a conflict between two ideas, the natural way to take care of this is to move one idea. One possibility, as I could say, is, well, actually, our free will is not as free will as we thought it was. That's one approach. We could turn around and say, yeah, I get up in the morning and I think I'm making all these decisions, but the truth be told, that many things that I think I'm deciding, I am not actually deciding. Right? Much of life, we have no control over. Some of us are born with silver spoons in our mouths, and some of us are born with plastic spoons in our mouth. The fact that I am as tall as I am has very little to do with me. Right? Maybe if I had better nutritional habits, I'd be a little taller. Maybe if I had worse, I'd be a little shorter. But by and large, it's genetics that made me who I am. Similarly, right, my intelligence might be somewhat attributable to what I've done with my life, but a lot of it has to do with genetics. A lot of it has to do with the family I was born into. It has to do with the education I was given. So much of my life, I think, is my doing, but really it isn't, right? The amount of free will that we have perhaps is not what we would like it to be. Not everything that I do is my choice. So one possibility is to turn around and say, yeah, that by and large, this is another major area where God has the ability to see the future, and therefore, hakol bidei shamayim, everything is predetermined, chutz, with the exception of a few small things. Perhaps how we react to what happens. And therefore, by standing strong in God's ability to see the future, I, in fact, am lowering the amount of free will. But, you know, maybe we can get by with less free will because we're already getting by with less free will. A second possibility is to turn around and say, no. Maybe God doesn't know the future all that well. Yes?
I don't remember where the Gemara is. Ein adam nokev etzvaon lamata, ela in hein makrisa hanok nilamata. Every little thing is preordained.
So again, we'll get to that hopefully over the summer. But what you're saying is that you are a supporter. This Gemara would seem to be supporting the idea that there's not as much free will out there as you might think, right? We'll discuss at one point. When a leaf falls from the tree, is that because this is nature? The wind comes, leaves get weak, they fall down. Or does God command that leaf to fall from the tree? Correct, that doesn't affect us, right? But the idea being, you know, God's involvement in this world. To what extent does God allow nature to go as it goes? And to what extent is he involved? Right? So a logical approach to taking care of this is to back down on one of the two, right? We could back down on the amount of free will, or we could also back down on the amount of God's knowledge. Now, obviously, as we said, what's really important is God's ability to know what has happened and God's and what is happening in order that God can react with schar va'onesh. How important is it for God to know what will happen? Now, Does a person ever surprise God? Well, again, if you know me that well, then I don't have free will, you're saying. If because you every single time know. Right? If I walk in, what? Every single day I walk into the bakery and I order a half of a large seedless rye. Of course. Right? And I do that every single day. Right, and I walk into the store, right, and the person behind the counter will likely say, "Good morning, half a large seedless rye sliced." But is it possible that one day I'll say, "Actually, I want a Danish today." Actually, I'm just in the mood for a Danish. Right, so it's possible that the person behind the counter doesn't really know what I'm going to choose. They'll be right 99% of the time, but they're not going to be right 100% of the time. Correct, but the question is, will the person ever take a Danish? Right, but that's exactly true. But machines don't have free will. Man, he is not machine. Maybe man, he is tree, but man is not machine. This is a man is not a machine, right? Because if a man was a machine, then we wouldn't have chira chafshis, and that, in fact, is the question we're dealing with. Right, so God knows when I'm going to order the Danish.
Right.
Right, but if God knows that I'm going to order the Danish, then I'm a machine.
Yeah.
That's right. So God just ordered the last Danish. Oh, sorry, this was taken by. Ah, here it is. Avishter. Sorry. But he was supposed to be here 15 minutes ago. So the Ravid actually decides to chip away at the idea of God's knowledge into the future. Now, there's a famous question that is put out there. This is one of those give you a headache questions. Could God create a rock which is so heavy that God could not pick it up? Shlomo, what do you think? Yeah, but then God, of course, you understand, would not be all powerful because he can't pick up this rock. Okay, well said. You don't think it's possible. So then God cannot do everything because God cannot create that rock.
But God could choose to limit himself.
Oh, correct. There's the answer. God could create that rock. Because the only reason God is not able to pick up that rock is because God decided he doesn't want to pick up the rock.
No. God decided that he doesn't want to be able to pick up.
Correct. God will not be able to kivayachol to change his mind afterwards. So again, so the answer would be that yes, God could create this rock which is so heavy that God himself can't pick it up because that was God's decision. If God decides to limit God, God is still limitless because the limitations are self-imposed. One could argue, as the Ravid does, and we'll see, that in fact, God has made the decision that for the sake of free will, God will not look into the future. And this does not take away from God's being all able and all powerful, because it was God who decided that God is not looking into the future. This is the Ravid. Yes. Oh, so the question, does Nevuah always happen? What? Well, I mean, let's take, we'll be discussing the 12 not so minor prophets coming up later in the week. Let's take one of them, Yonah. What is the prophecy of Yonah? In another 40 days, Nineveh is done. What happens 40 days from there? 40 days to the day? Nothing. That's not such a good Nevuah. I can make predictions like that. Right. So what? So basically what it sounds like, Nevuah, is unless... Right. Meaning that Nevuah, in their case, is not saying that this is what is going to happen. I'm not telling you the future. And the proof being, because it is changeable. Right? So undoubtedly, God can say to them, if you don't, you better shape up, or else... But again, God does not have to know the future for that. No, because it's not known. Right now, if you would ask God and say, is he going to take the chocolate or the vanilla? God would say, I don't know. I'm as curious as anyone else. That, yes. It's not predetermined, not at all. It's not predetermined. If you haven't looked, it's not predetermined. It could still change.
But back to Pearl's question, if God is outside of time, then this whole
idea... We'll get back to Pearl. We haven't forgotten Pearl. Pearl's had questions since then. We're okay, just hold on to it. We're not forgetting Pearl. So a logical approach, and we'll see this is likely the Ravid's approach, is that God's ability to see the future isn't what you thought it was. Because if God really could see the future, yes, it would impinge on our free will. And God wants us to have free will, right? In fact, this isn't really my area of expertise, but my understanding of the Tanya is the Tanya walks up and discusses that the greatest miracle of creation is God's removal of himself from the creation. The fact that God could create the universe, who can't do that? But the fact that God can create a universe where a person can go through the universe and come out with a statement that I don't believe in God, that God removed himself from the creation, that is the greatest act of creation. So to hear, God's greatness is in order to allow free will to exist. He removes himself from his ability to see the future.
Presumably that would be construed as an act of sinful.
If I was Hasidish, I would say that. Right? That's to the extent that... But that's the same idea, right? The same tzimtzum that you have in Tanya, right? It would be that's my idea. It's the same sort of idea, that God's limitation upon himself, however it happens through the 10, that is what's going on here as well, according to the Ravid.
Why would God choose to limit?
Because God wants man to have free will. That's the answer. For the sake of free will, God hasn't made that rock yet, as far as I know, because why would he? But there is a reason why he would do this. So therefore, the Ravid begins with what was Devorah's approach, which is that God doesn't know exactly. God knows pretty good what's going to happen. God knows us pretty well, right? God knows that the odds are half a large seedless rye sliced. He said, "Ein zeh chisarim b'diyaso yisbar ki ha'efsheri shnei minim." In general, I can have complete knowledge of something without knowing what happened. I can know all of the possibilities. But he says, if you ask me today, the Ravid says, is the king of Babylon alive or dead? I live in Spain. I don't know what's going on there. It could be he's alive. It could be he's dead. I know all the possibilities. Right? What happened today in Babylon? I don't know. We're missing some knowledge, a piece of information. I can tell you it's got to be one or the other. So these are the two possibilities, and I've given you all the possibilities to the answer. Similarly says, V'akel yisbarach yodeya shebekamoze mechuyabo echer ektsavos. God understands that these are the possibilities, and the overwhelming probability is that one. Right? Similarly, the idea of will there be an eclipse this month? If I really understand astronomy, I can tell you what's going to happen. God understands what's going to happen. Therefore, God has the knowledge, and he allows people to have the knowledge of astronomy to share in that knowledge. Yes, means they're going to be an eclipse. Maybe yes, maybe no. But people who understand more, they can tell me exactly. So of course God knows. So God understands in terms of science, in terms of knowledge, in terms of what's happening, in terms of, you know, how everything works. Of course God is all-knowing. God understands nuclear physics. He understands the cosmos. God is 100% all-knowing in terms of facts. But some things that God created can really be either way. So there are certain things out there that God, in fact, left as two possibilities. Will there be an eclipse this month? There's two logical possibilities, but only one is actually going to happen, and God can tell you. God created the world in a way that you can tell which one. However, God created certain things in the world that could happen two ways. He gives an interesting example from Shmuel. We just did this, actually, where Shaul is chasing Shmuel, and Shaul is teaching David. And David is running down to the city of Keilah, and he wants to know what's going to happen. Should I go down? Should I not go down? Right? The people of Keilah are being attacked by the Plishtim. God says what you should do is go down and save them. Then he asks a second question. Will they give me over to Shaul? According to the Ravid, you know what the answer is? Yes, that's a possibility. What do you mean, God, your God, is it going to happen or is it not going to happen? What God is saying is, well, they have free will. They have free will. They could very well give you over and I won't be able to stop it. So I cannot guarantee you protection and therefore get out of there. You see from here that when a person truly has free will, God does not have the ability, the Ravid is saying, to know what's going to happen. Because God, he himself created the creation in such a way that there's no hachrech, there's no reason why it has to be one. It could be either one. And therefore, what the Ravid is saying is that when God created the world, he created it in a way that he himself chose not to know what is going to be. And that doesn't limit God. Yes, Alex.
So during the battles and wars like against Amalek, was it
God who determined that the Jews should be against great odds the
No. Hashem Yilachem Lachem. He fought the battle. He won the battle. God is stronger than them. Hashem Yilachem Lachem V'atem Tacharishim. It's not that God sat back and he knew who was going to win, but he was actively involved. There was no free will involved here.
There wasn't determined.
There was no free will involved in this. Unrelated. The Yom Suf, there was no free will involved. God split the Yom Suf. It's not that God knew. God did it. Right? It's not something that I'm doing, and God maybe does know and doesn't know. Right? As we go forward, right, we're going to discuss the following question. If I am written in the book of life, is it still possible that you're going to shoot me this year? According to the Rebbe, the argument is, yeah, that God has no control in that area of free will, perhaps.
The Rambam would say, yes,
the Rambam says, we're not going to finish this today. It's heavy, and it's a lot. But I just want to do one more source, because if not, Helen's going to beat up on me. Something I'm very nervous about. I present you sources in English, special for Marcia. Rabbi Bleich, in his book, Imperfect Faith, I happen to like this in English better because he's very clear, and he also doesn't only quote Rav Sajagon, but he also quotes Thomas Aquinas, who doesn't often make it into the Shiurim. Sajir presents a more conventional resolution to this problem. Sajir accepts both the principle of divine omniscience and the reality of human freedom, and denies any incompatibility between these doctrines. He says, no problem, why not? For Sajir, divine knowledge is not causative in nature. It can be best understood in the light of the proposition that God transcends time. To God, past, present, future are one. And the same. God knows the future not in the present, which would entail the conclusion that the future volition cannot contradict present knowledge, but in a matter contemporaneous with the future. God sees all events in an eternal now. Human knowledge of contemporary events is certainly not causative. Since God is outside time, present and future are one and the same. What is he saying? He's saying it's positive, it's positive. It's not a matter that God knows today what's going to happen tomorrow. God knows tomorrow what's going to happen tomorrow. But God is right now at today and tomorrow and yesterday because God is above time. I must be honest, I don't totally understand it. But if you would understand the idea, Cal, you could speak up whenever you'd like, that time is a fourth dimension. God, time is a dimension. And just like I can go from one place to another, I can go from one time to another. God can be in multiple times at one point, at the same time. And therefore, it's not that God knows today what's going to happen tomorrow. God knows tomorrow what's going to happen tomorrow. But God just happens to be at tomorrow today. Thomas Aquinas is a little bit more helpful, where he says as follows. He gives a mashal, a good mashal, I think. The Catholic philosopher Thomas Aquinas, in formulating a similar explanation, offers the illustration of men passing single file through a deep gorge or ravine. A person standing on the side of the gorge can see only individuals passing through, but a person standing on a cliff overlooking the file people sees them all at once. Man perceives only a single quantum of time as the now, but God perceives all of eternity as the transcendental present. Mashal ma davar doma. I'm walking through a valley, a very small valley, and there's a guy walking in front of me. The only thing I'm seeing is the back of his head. And I'm going to keep on going, only seeing one person at all times. However, the person who is standing on top of the cliff sees everything at once. Sees me, the guy in front of me, the guy in back of me, 10 in front, 100 back, all the time. God is the guy on the top of the cliff. God sees it all. God is not causing it. But since God is not bound by this valley that we call time, God is seeing the future in the present because the future is the present for him right now. It's all considered the present for God. So I think that was the answer that was offered. So this is the approach of Rav Sajagon. So far up until now, we have 2.5 answers. We have the answer of the Ravid, that in fact, in Hachinami, these two things cannot live together. And because of that, God limits himself in his ability to see the future in order to preserve our free will. And we have the answer of Rav Sajja, who says that no, in fact, there is no stira. You think it's a stira because you don't understand that time is something that can be transcended. It's not that God sees today what's going to be tomorrow, but God today is at tomorrow. Those are the two answers. And then we'll keep the Rambam for the time being as a half answer, because his answer is, ha-ha, not telling. And we will pick up next time to see what other approaches potentially there are.
Should we leave these sheets? Should we take these? How do we want to?
You can take it home with you.